Hi, and welcome to the Making Our Way podcast. This week, you get a nice dose of just us. So thanks for listening.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey.
What have you guys been up to?
Everything. I've been up to everything. It's been like, I know Christmas is coming because this has been the most busy I've been back here in a very, very long time. I've got Grunkle on the shell, or Grumpy right. Grunkle. Yeah, so I'm gonna do a video on it. I think I'm gonna try to do a few videos because I've had a few projects pretty quick. But I took a go ahead, Christy.
It took me way too long to figure out what Grunkle was, and then I realized you're giving it to your nieces.
Yeah.
So Grumpy Uncle, is that what we're going for?
They call me Grunkle, Grumpy Uncle.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. That makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
They call me Grunkle. So, I got Dave Dave Mao posted the 3D scans from Maker Camp. And so I went in and I'm going to do a video on how I have no digital design experience whatsoever, but I could still use things on my computer to figure out how to cut my head off, put a B plug on the bottom of it so that it fits inside this deal, pull the head off of a real elf on the shelf, and then put my head on it. And I mean, painting looks like what it is, but their kids aren't supposed to be that close. From 10 feet away, it's not bad. I mean, it doesn't look that bad on the camera.
But yes, it definitely looks like once you're told it's you, oh yeah, that is you. I mean, it works. Good job.
So I got that going on. Then Project Christmas Spoon is in full effect. I think I did 20 this weekend, different spatulas, knives, spoons, all that. They're not finished. They're at the more than halfway point. They're all shaped. They're all sanded at 80 grit. I need to do the bowls on the spoons. I'll probably do that tomorrow. I tried to use a bit in a Dremel and it just wasn't working. And I've never been able to get the scoop knife to work. So I ordered some more bits that I can put in a drill press and try to carve out the spoon a little bit. But I got that going on. Then I made a table this week that I'm donating to a charity. And I've got all kind of stuff going on back here.
It sounds like you've been busy.
Yeah, the table was funny. And I'm actually probably going to talk about it next week when I finish it. But I knew I had three legs left over from the last table I made. I didn't know where they were. I'm like, well, if I had leftover legs now, they would be here. And I would go look and they're not in that place. And then I look in the attic and I look in every drawer and then I look in the closet and I just can't find them. I'm going check the fourth time where I'm like, this is where I put all metal stock. And I kick a box and I look down and they were still in the box in the middle of the floor. I'd never picked them up, just set them on the ground in the box. So now I ordered four more just in case I needed to go with four. But the way the table is shaped, it would have been hard to put a pair of legs on one side. Just the table's got, imagine you're milling a tree. It's probably not the first cut, but that second cut. Mm-hmm. And so one side is flat, but the other side has a lot of curvature to it from the natural edge of the tree. And I think the three legs is going to look good. But yeah, I've been really, really busy back here. What about you, Christy? You were milling as well, huh?
Ooh, yeah. Actually, an old piece of cedar. My ex-husband actually brought that to me. It was his father's. He passed away earlier this year. He was quite a bit of a, he wasn't necessarily a woodworker, but he was always log in and firewood and stuff like that. So the goal that I'm going to use that big piece of cedar for, I milled it down with my bandsaw, but that one of those pieces of all those pieces that I chopped up, one of those pieces will be the base to a purse that will be made out of his work boots, his cowboy boots. And I think I mentioned a little bit about that before. Yeah. When I took the sole of the boots off, I took the leather off from the sole. And so now I'm working up that red cedar and whoo, boy, that's beautiful. I mean, it is just when I slice into that, I got the, I had to trim off a section in order to be able to fit it on my bandsaw. And I've got a full size bandsaw, I guess you could call it. The, I think technically it's an 18 inch or whatever. I don't understand why bandsaws are not, their measurement is not by the height of the saw blade that shows. I don't understand.
The throat that you can cut.
Yeah, but I still think the height is more of a relevant number. That's my personal opinion. but anyway, I got 10 good inches of height and 18 or whatever in the throat, but it made me a little nervous because I had the full.
Yeah. What do you call that? Resaw blade?
Yeah. I called it a serial killer blade because I'm telling you what, you could cut up anything with that blade. It was massive and it worked like a charm. It made me nervous as all get out when I used it for the first time. And boy, once that first piece cut off and flopped over, I was just tickled pink with it. And then I just went to town. You know, I had really no like plan of which direction. I had a flat edge and I was just, you know, cut, turn, cut, 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 maybe turn, cut, cut again. So I got quite a few good pieces out. I know each of them were at least an inch thick just because I figure I'll plane it down. You know, just kind of, I'd rather have it a little too thick and plane it to get it the right, thickness rather than being too thin. And the thing with cedar, it's so lightweight, you know?
Sure.
So even like for the bottom of a purse or anything, it's not adding weight like the oak did on the other bags that I've done, or the walnut has on the other bags that I've done. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I actually posted reels across all platforms. I know, brace yourself. That was, you know, something I've not really done a whole lot of lately. But yeah, I made a point to get a little footage of those and I got those posted.
Everything and, about those saws is terrifying, except they're way safer than the saws that people are much more comfortable with. Like lot of people are very comfortable with table saws and that's the most dangerous tool. A router is probably the most dangerous tool. Table saw is right behind it. And a bandsaw is really not that dangerous if the blade's on right. And a lot of times, even if the blade comes off, if you have an encasement, that holds the blade from coming to kill you. And as long as you don't force it to where you're putting tension on that blade to where it pops through, you can walk away from your wood piece. I mean, there's no energy coming back at you to throw something kickback at you.
I mean, I think that, you know, if you hit your finger or you hit your whatever, you would get cut, but you wouldn't like lose a hand, I wouldn't think. I mean, not to the degree like those other type tools would be. So I try to be cautious, you know, with everything. Marvin is extremely allergic to red cedar. So,
One of those kind of situations.
Yeah. He is not, I need to actually go out there. I vacuumed everything up real good after I started on the project. I need to probably go out there again and kind of clean up just to make sure.
So you're like getting the sawdust so you can like sprinkle it in coffee and baked goods and stuff. I don't understand.
Hey, now we don't need to be saying that stuff out loud. but then otherwise I went to the Taylor Swift concert or movie. And now I realize that 85% of our listeners are going to turn it off right now. As soon as they hear
the words.
I don't
know about that. I mean, she's pretty ubiquitous throughout.
Yeah.
You're talking about somebody who went from like little country singer 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever. And I mean, she's the biggest star in music right now for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of music. I know we've talked about music on here a ton of times. I'm not a big listener of any music in particular, but she's killing it. And my theory is $22. I'm going to go and pay at the movie theater to watch her concert, sing along, enjoy a great show because she sings for almost 3 hours. And I mean, she's got to like physically be those in any concert where the singer is singing and dancing and running around the stage and stuff. They got to be in amazing physical fitness shape because I'd be like, you know, trying to just breathe.
Well, her longevity has really suggested that she's a professional. She stays focused and I'm sure she's probably got 20 years of practice and exercises and stuff like that to get to that point. But I like how like right now football fans are probably tired of her because you try to watch a game and a guy scores a touchdown and instead of seeing the team celebrate their accomplishment, the cameras all pan up to the box to see if Taylor Swift's celebrating.
Yes.
But I like how, you know, she's on a break and when the break started, the movie came out. I mean, the marketing is pretty good. Yeah. It would be awesome if she's only dating this guy to drive ticket sales to the movie. Like I would be full supporter of that. do whatever you got to do, Queen.
Yeah. Well, and considering the crazy, and trust me, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm Travis Kelce. I knew him well before Taylor Swift came into the picture. So I'm not dissing him at all. And he seems to be a very good, he's a fantastic player, seems to be a great guy, but his sales of jersey and all of his social media followings there and his listenership on his podcast have literally gone through the roof with the obsession of the Swifties. So, you know, hey, it's a win-win for everybody as far as I'm concerned.
We need somebody like that on this podcast to drive up listens.
Well, considering we're all married, I don't know. I don't know.
We can get a side piece just for publicity. Yeah. You know?
So I was talking to somebody earlier today and they were saying that if I made in 2015 what I make today, I would have had a Ferrari. Like, you know, just how much expenses have changed over that time. And my response was, I know our grandparents had second families and didn't think anything about it. But right now, I don't know how people can manage to afford to have kids. You know, I mean, that's a real index of how much the, you know, economies have changed is how many people have second and third families now.
Yeah,
not many that I know of, except for some of the
sorry, man, you don't have to save me. I'll stick by that. Money went a lot further back in the day when you could afford to have a second family.
Yeah, all the ones I know had second families in Costa Rica. Like there'd be business guys here that surfed and they're going to go on a surf trip for a month.
Okay,
they're going to see their other family.
But you could do that because of the exchange rate. Money goes a lot longer in Costa Rica.
Oh, no doubt.
So if you're looking to have a second family, it probably has to be an expat family.
Yeah, third world. You gotta find a third world. That. Costa Rica is advanced too far now, so you're going to have to go to like Bolivia or something like that.
Yeah. My Bolivia babe. That might be the next Patreon single.
Oh, man.
All right, Austin, what do you got?
So yeah, this week, you know what I've been doing? I've been thinking about doing some, I've hit the point with followers because I'm famous. You guys know that now.
Yes. You remind us regularly.
Where I kind of do a little bit more like beginner metalworking stuff, where more educational. So I did one a couple days ago where I talked about like all of the tailstock tooling that you can use. Not
that
all
was
of it.
A good one.
I ran out of time. I actually had, there was a whole second half of that video. I had no idea how long I ran. So I'll have a part two, but I've been thinking about doing that as kind of some fill-in videos while I'm, cause I gotta find out what I can do. Cause like I'm getting ready to roll into super busy season for my business. I can't be producing longer like build videos. Like it's just not going to happen, you know, or not as far as the length of the video, as far as the length of the project.
Well, and I think too, like the video that you're talking about and some of those beginner ones, even folks that have been in the maker community, done their woodworking, done their whatever, their blacksmith or whatever, there's a lot that a lot of people don't know about the very basics of what you do, whether it's any form of leather or metalwork or turning or just all of your tools. That is a mystery to a lot of people. So I think there's definitely some value in that too.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, I mean, I did one with the spring tap follower when I talked about how like different size taps, you can actually turn it around. I had like 15 people message me. They're like, dude, I've owned one of those for 20 years. I had no idea it had another end where you could flip it over. They're like, I had no idea that it had that other side. And so that's pretty cool. So, you know, help. It's cool to do a video and people are, it has like real impact on people. They're like, whoa, that totally changed how I'm going to work. You know?
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. But so, yeah, I've been, you know, setting up the workshop. I've been going through and kind of just writing up video ideas, like talk about tailstock tooling, talk about different types of chucks, talk about why you would use this chuck versus this chuck. And the real problem that I'm running into is a minute and a half. For a reel, it sounds like that's tons of time, but if you're trying to get into more detailed stuff, it's very difficult. It's very short.
I run into that with my Tax Tip Tuesdays because like even this week, I cut it in and I'm only talking about the month end bookkeeping process, which is 5 points or 6 points. But I'm like, you know, if I'm going to have any value in that whatsoever, I split it in two. I normally don't like to do that. But yeah, I totally agree with you, even if it's little bitty nuggets, because you know, it's hard to say what people are actually digesting as they're listening to it. So,
and that's what I was contemplating. I'm like, okay, should I do like the five tailstock tips and then do like, I'm just doing one tip. So instead of it being a minute and a half and I cram five, maybe I just do one and it's 45 seconds for just that one tip. So I shorten the video up, but it's, you know, a little more in depth on the one thing, you know, depending on what kind of, some things don't need that, but some things could use a little dive in.
And then you could make the little like album or whatever to where they all clip in, or you could do five of those short ones and then add those together. And now you've got a longer length YouTube video.
Yeah. The problem with that is the fucking orientation. Format.
Yeah.
I mean, I could shoot on my phone because now iPhones have where you can put the photo grid. So it puts a grid when you're filming. So it's like six blocks. And then as long as you keep everything in the middle two blocks, that's your vertical format. And then everything outside of it. So you can film and crop. But I never.
How do I do that?
If you go into your camera settings, it says apply grid or something like that.
You walk into frame. And you're holding a phone and you're wearing a crop top and you go, I'm trying to figure out how to crop this video.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
I mean, if you want them to leave immediately, that's the way to do it.
I was thinking about making some videos, but that's hard too. Like not just the orientation, but then also the length, right? If you were to do a reel, it's a minute. But if you're going to do a YouTube video, it's longer than that. So things I have that I want to do videos on, I want to do it on the Elf on the Shelf modification. I want to do it on, I 3D printed some little just brackets that I have these roll down shades, like sun shades, and they come with clips that you can hook a little ball in so that they don't blow in the wind. But if you only go down halfway, like I only have the clips at the bottom. So I 3D printed extra clips and put them at different spots to where I can hang them. So I was going to do a video on that. And then I wanted to do maybe a, I don't know if I'm going to do a video on the rulers. I want to kind of keep that to myself, but, maybe this table build is just like a quick thing, but then it's like, do you do a 1 minute video or do you do a longer video or do you try to film both simultaneously? And then that's when I'm like, I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah. I tell you what, I've done that where I'm filming with the, you know, my DSLR and I'm filming with the phone. So I get both orientations, two different. Dude, it's a lot of, I mean, you have to edit twice.
Yeah.
You know, you got to edit in vertical. You got to, that sucks.
I have another question while we're just randomly talking about social media stuff. Okay, because normally I record my Tech Tip Tuesdays and then I put all the words in when I'm editing it on the editing app. But I've recently switched to where I'm using Instagram to do my editing because it has saved me a bunch of times and it will give me the captions.
Sure.
Can I download that video before I post it so that I can use it with the captions on Facebook, TikTok?
Yes.
And okay, that's what I keep forgetting to do.
So before you can
download it, but you can screen record it.
You can download it. So before you get to the final, like where you go to the next, where it's like you're picking the thumbnail and stuff.
Right.
You have to be on the editing page on the top row. There's an arrow, a down arrow with a line under it. And that's where you can download it. So, but if you're adding music, you have to download it before you add music. Otherwise, it'll strip your audio.
Yeah, no, I don't. On my Tech Tip Tuesdays, I don't do music. But yeah. I've gotten to where I'm using the Instagram, but I forget to download it. So like today, in order to post it on, I finally posted the first time TikTok for my CPA page. Mm-hmm. And then I also posted it on Facebook, but I needed to put, because I definitely want the captions like word for word as to what I'm saying, because to see me just standing there, you know, mouthing words, there's no benefit for anybody to just watch me talk unless they're actually wanting to hear what I said. So I definitely like having the captions on that, but good point. Thank you very much.
I think you should do music. And I would start with the Pink Floyd song, Money. I think that'd be a good one to start with Tech Tip Tuesdays.
Get a theme song to kick it
bum,
off.
Bum, 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 bum.
Isn't that the beginning of Dave Ramsey's?
No, it's the beginning of...
Oh, well, is somebody it else already Ramsey? Has it. We'll have to get something else then. Okay, I'll keep thinking.
Yeah. I
could
thought
do
about
Nelly. You're from Missouri. You could do Nelly. Whoa, must be the money.
That's a good one. That's true. St. Louis original there. I haven't posted any of my text tip Tuesdays on.
I'll give you a couple text tips Tuesdays. Oh,
you need Dean to record it for you.
You're hired.
Must be
get
the
your
money.
Band-aid on, Dean.
I'll do it. Band-aid under the eye. So you think anybody's going to be trick-or-treating listening to I Want Your Candy?
That was a good song. That was a very good song.
I didn't get any kind of feedback or whatever, but my sister and brother-in-law were arguing over who, and this has happened multiple songs, who's doing the background vocals.
I was wondering about that.
They thought it was you. My brother-in-law was like, no, that's Christy from the podcast singing in the background. And Caitlin was like, no, it's not. I think it's him. It's like, yeah, I do all of them. So go ahead.
Well, it sounded like there was a woman in the background. So then I thought, is it Kristen? Or did you really tweak it? One time that
Kristen was singing or something. No, I'm not tweaking anything. I'm singing at a different pitch. So I'm not doing any editing on the songs because I'm not going to sit here because you'll edit them to death. Like you'll sit here.
I understand that.
So the way I make the songs is I have the lyrics and I sing it just one time, just whatever comes mm-hmm. out. But then that's, you know how like you sing better to the radio? So if I have something to keep my pace and remind me where I'm at. And so that's kind of like my master track or whatever, my mapping track. That one ends up getting deleted at the end, but that's what I go to. And then, so then I'll sing wherever I want to be for the main vocal. Then I'll sing one down here. And that one's usually just real reserved. I don't inflect a lot. And then I'll go high. So like on that one, you know, it was, trick or treating in these streets, having the time of my life, and do that. But the mm-hmm. regular song is trick or treating in these streets, and yeah, it's fun.
Now, for folks that might not know what Dean or what we're talking about, Patreon folks get to regularly get Dean's version of reworded songs.
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide if I'm gonna keep going Weird Al with it or if I'm going to try to come up with some original backing music and do just strictly original parody songs. They're all going to be parody. I'm never going to do anything serious. Or someone else had suggested maybe to take some of the creative pressure off, just reimagining a current song. So like an acoustic version or a slowed down version or something of a current song. I was like, maybe I could try that. But I mean, I'm not winning any awards or anything for these. They're just kind of fun and something I feel like, you know, the patrons get a little extra 3 minutes of hilarity. I'm sure everybody else enjoys them more than I do. I'm super critical. I listened to the one we just released on Monday and I was like, Austin, have you posted yet? Because I went and re-recorded it again, even after Christy told me not to. And I re-recorded it again and uploaded it.
I thought it was great without it. Now you're going to have to put them all together as like a little, what does it take to like upload that on some platform?
Jeff Stein has them on his SoundCloud or something. He sent me a thing like on his playlist. He had I Hit a Horse with My Truck and he had Buses Stop for Tracks. And then I think I went the wrong direction with Did I Shave My Face for This? That was probably a miss. But
a lot of people don't know that song. I knew the song.
Sure. My Dog Eats Bread, I think, was really good. I kind of went the wrong way on that one. I wanted to make it's times like these. I'm glad I don't have kids. Just just as a point. So I'm not ever gonna replace Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters, but I thought this one was good, and I think the next one will be themed Christmas or something like
Christmas.
That. Yeah, I need to come up with a song because I was thinking it'd be fun next weekend when I'm at my sister's. I'm going to my sister's next weekend to have the girls help me come up with some lyrics, so that way when they hear the song, they'll have some of the lyrics. Yeah,
they could be your they could be your backup singers.
All I want for Christmas is glue.
To sniff.
Some woodwork.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey.
All I want for Christmas, yes, is tight bond too.
I was going to say, you need to be in touch with tight bond. See if they'll sponsor that one.
I would love if people took like I Want Candy and used it as the audio in their Instagram. That would crack me up. Like if you did a reel of your kids trick-or-treating with that song in the background, it'll crack me up. So since we don't have a guest, can I go deep into something I did this weekend?
Do we need to transition to the, you know, with the Patreon listeners, and then this is technically part two?
Yeah, sure. We'll do it right now.
We'd like to take a minute and thank the folks over on Patreon for the support that they give us. If you'd like to join them over there at patreon.com/makingourwaypodcast. On the top tier, we've got Marion Ward from Creative Ward Gallery, Scott Oram from Daddy Yourself, and Ozark Spirit.
So, that's a Wayne's World reference for anyone who's listening to this. But so it would have been game seven night, because I remember I was looking for anything to do besides watch the ALCS. So I guess that was Monday night. And yeah, so you're talking about a house that bought two new jerseys, a sweater, and another shirt because we needed things to wear during the World Series. And you know, so what happened for next year? But anyway, my ice maker has been screaming like a banshee for about a month now. And I watched some videos. I read some stuff. What happens is you'll get something. The way it works is there's a screw drive and it's like a super cooler. The water goes into the screw drive, and as the screw turns and as the water freezes, it will, now it's solid, it will go up the screw. And then that's what pushes out as the soft ice. Oh. And so it's one of these GE Opal countertop ice makers. Mm-hmm. Well, what'll happen is you'll either get some kind of debris or a piece of insulation or something will fall in there, and that screw is metal on metal and it's squealing because there's something in there causing friction. And so the way you fix it is you have to take it all apart, get the screw out, and then clean out the super cooler. I'm watching this game. I'm like, I need something else to do. I'm going to clean the ice machine. And so I take the bucket out and I notice mold in the, like slime or whatever, on the back wall for the first time ever.
Right.
And I clean it once a month. I have like a cleaning solution. You run cycle through it and everything. And I had just done it maybe 2 weeks ago, right when I got back from Maker Camp, I had run a cycle and I saw this and I was like, oh, this isn't good. So there is a UV light inside the like reservoir in the machine, because there's so much heat and everything else. It's a perfect environment for nastiness. So there's this UV light that shines in there to kill bacteria. And I said, oh, the UV light must have went out. And so I take it apart. I take the top off. It's four screws. You take the side skirts off. The reservoir's right there. You've got to pop the top off. And I noticed the light wasn't working. So I said, okay, I need to order this light. I said, but in the meantime, I'm going to clean it. It wasn't too bad in there. But I said, well, let me go ahead and take everything apart and get this squelching to stop. And so that's, you take four more screws out. You remove a top. Then you remove some foam insulation. And there's four bolts. You take those off. And that's, there's like a kind of like a rotary dial looking piece. And as that spins, that's what's breaking the ice off in like the small nuggets.
Oh, so
the
okay.
frozen ice is coming out the top and that is shearing it off into little nuggets. And so take that plate off and then you can pull the drive out. And when I pulled the drive out, the bottom half of it was like slime green.
Oh, no. Like,
yeah. So I said, okay, so I went to town, cleaned it, and I ran a bleach cycle, vinegar cycle before I even started any of this, and it looked like that. So I cleaned everything up, and then I noticed the bottom where there's like a spring that kind of keeps tension in everything, and it's just corroded. I use only filtered water in the machine, but even that, the water here is still hard enough that it's just calcium buildup, mineral deposits building up in this, and that's what's squeeching. Is the mineral deposits being rubbed across the inside of the metal. So I get it all cleaned up. I'm in there for an hour, just scrubbing the heck out of everything. I got a copper brush or a brass brush. I'm polishing all the steel. I've got a hot water and soap. I'm cleaning everything off, wiping everything down. I put it all back together. I fill up the water reservoir. I plug it in. I walk in the living room and I'm watching TV and I can hear the pump like sucking air. And so I go back in there and there's water all over the floor everywhere.
Oh, shit.
So I go look, there's the main reservoir, there's a side tank reservoir, but then there's a reservoir at the top where that UV light was. Mm-hmm. And the hose that connects the big reservoir to the bottom reservoir, there's like a little plastic mail and it had cracked whenever I was moving everything around and shoving things back and forth, trying to take it apart. But I had cracked that piece of plastic. And so as it was pumping water up the top, it's just running back out the bottom through the whole machine and out all over the counter and floor. I'm lucky it didn't, you know, electrocute anything or trip a breaker or something. And so I said, you know what? It was so disgusting. I probably wasn't going to use it anymore anyway. We've gotten a few years out of it. I chunked it in the trash. But I spent an hour and a half cleaning this thing just to throw it away. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, this would have been a good video, but
Now, is it possible that you could have 3D printed? I agree with throwing it away. Don't get me wrong. I would have thrown it away at minute number two. But is it possible you could have 3D printed the part that you needed to fix it?
Oh, absolutely. I could have fixed it easily. But and there's a point of pride in this house. We've been in this house 12 years. Same air condition, same refrigerator, same microwave, same dishwasher. You know, and things break, but we bring them back to life. We joke that the dishwasher, every time we talk about replacing it, it hears us and it fixes itself. But you know, we've had some appliances that should not still be around because nowadays you can't buy anything that lasts more than a few years, but we keep them running. And I didn't want to toss this. I wanted to fix it. But in the end, the version two, the newer model, has a bigger reservoir. It has, it's programmable. So you can tell it, like this one was just sensing when ice was low. And this one, this new one, I can tell it at 4 p.m. start making ice. So when I get home, there's ice. Don't run all day, wasting electricity and stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of long-term appliances, 1994, I bought washer and dryer, and the washing machine is still working. We don't have it here. We gave it to, I don't know, Jonathan or Anna, but it's gone from like six houses and 28, nine, whatever, 30, I don't know, years now. And it's a long term for a washer to survive that long.
We moved in this house 11 years ago. Our washing machine was a used washing machine we bought from neighbors who were buying a new washing machine. And I think their dryer had gone out and the wife insisted that they match. So they were selling their washing machine. I was like, we'll take it. The button that you depress broke. I soldered it back onto the circuit board. Then the physical plastic button broke. So I made another one out of a spring and a cap head screw to where I'm like, can't break now. It's metal. And I was doing all kind of stuff to Frankenstein this thing to keep running. It ran forever. And we got rid of it. We started a few years ago, maybe like wedding anniversary eight. So probably our 12th year together where for anniversaries, we don't buy, like I'm not buying her something. We buy a family gift that helps the household. And so 1 year, that was the first year we were like, let's get a washing machine. And so since then we've gotten dishes and I think we got a Vitamix 1 year because she thought we were going to do smoothies or something. And last year she got diamond earrings, but every other year we did a family thing. You had a question about my machine, Austin?
No, I was just saying that I feel like you worked on that thing so many times that it's.
I think I'm certified. Like I need to contact GE because I'm pretty sure I'm certified on repair.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I knew which screws I didn't need to put back.
Oh, like, wow.
Like that's pretty good. That's a recommendation. You don't need all four of those screws. Two's fine. You know,
like I'm going to be in here in 2 weeks anyways.
Kristen came in the bedroom Wednesday. She was doing the dishes and I was laying in bed on Instagram or something. She goes, I don't want to alarm you, but when I turned on the garbage disposal, a screw flew out.
Oh,
and I said, I know. And she kind of looked at me. I was like, it fell off the ice maker when I was working on it. And I just didn't worry about it because I didn't need it. You didn't need that screw. Three screws was enough. You didn't need all four of them. And I said, but I threw it away. So you can throw the screw away. She was like, oh my God, I thought something had broken there. Or I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's just that. So this new ice machine came in on Wednesday and I hooked it all up and then I didn't get any ice for over a day. I think I was kind of traumatized, like, you know, that my ice machine died and it's nasty and I don't want to do this, but this one seems pretty nice. I had read some kind of questionable things about it with the people are like, why does it have Wi-Fi? This is so dumb. And I understand that. I don't know why anything in the kitchen needs the internet, but the machine itself, it's a bigger reservoir that seems to make ice better. It's not quite as loud. It's got some other functionality stuff that seems to be a little better.
Yeah. As far as reviews, that reminds me of our back deck furniture. People complaining about it took them 8 hours to put together and all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, you guys are a bunch of pansies because it wasn't that bad at all to put it together.
8 hours. I'll build you a fucking Adirondack from scratch in 8 hours.
Yeah. I mean, like literally some people put it that they took them like a whole weekend to put this together. And I'm like, seriously, folks, that is pretty pathetic. And I mean, and I know we've only had it like a month or whatever, but oh my gosh, we love it. We love our deck furniture.
I love how many times on this podcast you've told Austin and I about how big your deck is and that it's really long and you really painted the pictures of how awesome this deck is.
It is amazing.
Toodaloo, toodaloo.
We'd like to say a special thanks for the folks over on Patreon in the middle tier. We've got Tony Langer from Langerworks, Susan Duplantis from Hearth and Garden Art, Stephanie Taddeo, and Kyle with Footwork Woodworking. All right, guys, you guys knew that I was in Texas this weekend, and I've noticed living maybe where I do and sometimes traveling, when you don't have the Wi-Fi or, God forbid, you're out of electricity, talk about some real first world problems. Because, like, for example, I was down there at the hotel and the Wi-Fi went out. Normally, no big deal. I can still hotspot off of my phone for my computer. But, you know, the one thing I needed was a Dr. Pepper. The soda machines on the floor of the hotels did not take real money. They only took debit or credit cards. And guess what does not work when the Wi-Fi is out?
Isn't it? And will ruin your fucking life.
Oh my gosh.
They upgraded our kitchens at work. And instead of a vending machine that you put cash into, it's a convenience store or whatever. There's just a door. You could go grab whatever you want and walk out. But there's cameras and it's an honor system and they have a little kiosk and you scan everything yourself and then you pay whatever the total is. Only takes swipeable credit cards. So when my credit card quit swiping a while back because I burned a hole through it, I couldn't buy a soda. Even though I have cash, I have money, but there's no one there to talk to, no one there to figure things out with. I had to beg other people to swipe their credit cards so I could get a 38-cent soda.
Yeah, because you can't even like go dig in your car to find, you know, the little change drawer or whatever you've got in your vehicle.
And I could go downstairs and buy a dollar soda or a $2 soda, but knowing that there's 30, the sodas are subsidized at work. So it's 35 cents plus tax. And knowing that there's a 35 cent soda up there, I just can't do it.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. What do you guys think about how everything's moving away from cash?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'm glad I don't have to carry cash. If I lose my wallet, I didn't lose a bunch of money or can't get held up or can't, you know, whatever, or have to figure out change. Like Griff and I had an exchange at Maker Camp. And because I had to buy Christie's clandestine stuff, I didn't have enough cash on me. And I had more cash than what, like I either had not enough cash or too much cash, but Griff didn't have the abilities to bridge that gap. And I wasn't overpaying and he wasn't taking a loss. So I had to pay cash for part and then Venmo the rest. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm in the back of an SUV, Venmo and money. I don't know. If somebody would have walked by, they would have thought something for sure.
Especially with his long hair and beard.
But when you think about coins and dollars, I mean, it makes sense. I don't mind having, I really don't care if they put a microchip in me and I just, do y'all have a Whole Foods? Do y'all go to Whole Foods?
No.
The Whole Foods here has a palm scanner. And you can register your palm to your Amazon account and not need any money or a wallet. You can go in, get what you need and scan your palm at the register. They scan your stuff. You scan your palm and that'll be your payment method.
Oh, that, I don't know about that.
I haven't done it yet. I haven't set it up, but I saw it. I was like, I don't know if I trust you, but it's nice that one time you leave and you go, oh shit, I forgot my wallet or I don't have any cash. Apple Pay, I needed money for something, didn't have my wallet, but the ATM machine lets you do I had my debit card logged on my iPhone. And so then I could tap my iPhone to the ATM machine and get cash out. That was like, that blew my mind that you could do that.
Yeah. Marvin uses his Apple Pay or whatever through our cards a lot. I don't use that very often. I appreciate Venmo and those kind of things for like normal exchanges. Like if like all of us siblings buy one gift for mom and dad for Christmas. So then we just Venmo each other the balance. That has made life a whole lot easier in that regard. I don't know that I'm ready to get rid of cash altogether. I don't know.
Well, and like, if you don't want people to know what's going on or you don't want to pay taxes, I mean, you need cash for stuff like that. I need this government currency if I don't want to pay taxes to the government.
Right.
This is why, well, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but this is why there should be a national sales tax rather than income tax. But anyway.
Oh, if there was a sales tax instead of income tax, I would drive the biggest piece of shit car. Like so many of my decisions would be based on, I'm not paying more taxes to get that.
Then everybody's paying. You can't have under the table transactions.
I know I've talked a lot already, but before we move on to your other convenience examples, I wanted to share this, that folks at work the other day, they surprised me with 20 Diet Cokes. I love Diet Coke. It's probably why I'm obese. But they took 20 Diet Cokes, put them all over my desk, taped trivia questions that they each came up with, five questions each or whatever, taped those on the cans, and then the answers on the bottom. And so those are all over my desk. So now when I have my 10 o'clock Diet Coke, I have a trivia question, and it's stuff that's either like related to something that happened at work or an exchange we've had, or maybe some trivia. There was one that I was like, how is anyone ever going to know this? And they're like, well, you're from Louisiana. You should, like, I don't know everything that's ever happened in the state of Louisiana. I thought it was an unbelievable gesture and really, really cool thing. So if you're ever looking for, you know, something to give someone that maybe doesn't cost that much money, it was almost like a scavenger hunt. I know, Chrissy, you and I have talked about scavenger hunts. It was almost like a scavenger hunt, but in a box kind of thing. So I've got all these Cokes that I can look forward to, and it makes me wait. Like, I've only had three of them. So, cause I'm not going to just pound through them. One a day when I'm at work, and I'm going to have my trivia question. And then I email them what the question is, what I think the answer is, what the actual answer is, and then who I think submitted the question. And
it's
been a fun little thing for us to kind of connect and grow and get to know each other a little better. I thought it was pretty neat, a neat little maker twist. So then I asked them, I was like, please God, tell me y'all didn't sit at y'all desk and fucking tape pieces of paper to Diet Coke cans. And someone saw, and they were like, of course not. We scheduled a meeting and booked a conference room and did it.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Okay, thank you for doing that. I said, actually, that's do that more priceless. Often. Book more conference rooms where you just go do, instead of sitting on your phones, please start booking conference rooms to do that. That was a smart move. But anyway, you got some other examples of convenience things you ran into?
Just some other first world problems, or whatever they call it. Like, if you're in a recliner, one of those electric recliners now, and the electricity goes out, it can be tricky to actually crawl out of that recliner with no electricity. So I don't know if they should have like a emergency hatch.
Yeah, an emergency release. Yeah.
Something like that. Or your Ring doorbell. If you normally keep an eye on what's going on in your neighborhood, or us, we actually have one of the Ring doorbell cameras inside the house to watch the cats while we're gone out of town. And so when the Wi-Fi is off, the Ring doorbell is off, which also means the cats can run amok. Well, they can pretty much do that anyway. And we can't keep an eye on them. So what are some other things electricity wise or Wi-Fi wise, that's either just an inconvenience or almost ironic now?
Oh, for us, because I live we're on septic and well pump for water. Oh. Mm. So if the electricity goes out, we are in the Stone Age. We don't have running water. We don't, you know, like, you can't flush a toilet because there's no water to refill the toilet. Like, it's a big deal when we don't have electricity.
Well, that's when electricity. You pee in the tank, and then you just go number two in the bowl and you pee in the tank.
The problem is if you're not fully hydrated, you run short. It's not equal ratio.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah. It takes more water to flush. I'm with you. That makes sense.
Right.
We would always, if the weather was going to be really bad and there was a chance that electricity would go out, and I think Papa Ridge mentioned something like this in one of his videos, we would fill the bathtub up with water to use for whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Papa Ridge got that tip from him.
What if Papa a Canadian Ridge Jr., hit by you? The way. What if a Canadian hits your water pump? What do you do then?
Ban them from high caliber camp forever.
So that's I was fair. So proud of myself when we had a winter store Uri a few years ago in Texas shut down. I had some drums. One was a diesel drum and one was a soap drum, but 55 gallon drums. And I had some extra gutters, and I set up some gutter systems so that as the snow melt, it would go in, and then we use that water to flush the toilets.
Nice.
So I was in survival mode. Kristen was like, you're in your element. I was like, we need to get out of this fucking city is what we need. This is me telling you, I don't want to live in this city anymore.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal in certain states to catch your own runoff water?
It 100% is. So. Not in That's Texas, crazy. But
right.
I think it's in some Western states, if you get my drift.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, electricity is a big one. Oh, I'll tell you one that probably happens to a lot of people. You don't have a clicker for your garage anymore. Your garage door opener is on Wi-Fi, and you open up the app on your phone and your Wi-Fi is down. You can't open your garage door. That happened to me twice. And I went back to just a legit, just clicker. And I have it put in the car there, and I click a button. I used to have an app I'd go to, and when I was two blocks away, I'd open the garage door. So when I'd pull in, it was open, and I had to get rid of it because too many times I pulled up and either it had lost connectivity or the thing had come unplugged or there was no Wi-Fi and it was a hassle.
Huh. Yeah. I'm on the track of the least amount of Wi-Fi connections possible in my house. Like my stove does not need Wi-Fi.
No,
my microwave doesn't need Wi-Fi. You know, it's, I don't need the China knowing that I'm heating up nachos again, you know?
What about in everyone's workshop, we've all gone to cordless tools. I was trying to sand something yesterday. Battery was dead. I go to grab the second battery. That battery's dead. Just that, so now I'm waiting for batteries to charge. And then earlier I was working on this table. I'm going to sand, so I wanted to keep watching TV. So I have a Bluetooth transmitter on my TV, put in my IsoTunes, turn on the transmitter, and the IsoTunes are dead. So I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm not going to be able to listen to the audio because the sander's so loud because my headphones are dead. And I mean, what a thing that, you know, no one before this time ever said, I can't stream YouTube to my TV and listen to it in my Bluetooth headphones because they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen things like, lawnmowers. I'm like, if you got very big of a yard, I don't think that's going to work. But then also like a miter saw, some of those tools at tight, like really take a little bit of power to properly run. And I'm like, I don't know, because like, unless you're doing a job that you take your miter saw with you regularly, I'm kind of like, I'm okay with plugging that thing in because
my miter saw is battery powered.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And I would love if there was a corded attachment for it. I bought it because it was battery powered. There was a reason I did all my cutting outside. So I didn't have a bunch of sawdust because my shop's small. So you do something like that, everything has a coat of sawdust on it. But I bought this saw so I could transport it. It's so goddamn heavy because of all that stuff that I never move it anyway. And I do wish it was corded. That is one tool. The bandsaw is corded, of course. That's corded. Lathes are corded. Table saw is corded.
I know the DeWalt battery powered saw has where you can plug an extension cord into it.
It does. And
bypass the batteries.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the DeWalt one does. I think the Makita one now does. I know it also has where you can turn the vacuum on, kind of like the Festool stuff does. This was the first version of that. But that was the one that got me into the Makita ecosystem, because it came with four batteries. So you bought saw, it came with two and you got two free. I was like, well, shit, for $400, I get four 18 volt batteries. Let's go all in. And now, you know, if you've listened to our Jimmy DeResta episode, I don't think he said it on the recording, but he asked me if I was a Makita saw salesman.
Yeah. Now, the other thing with regard to electricity that we learned the hard way, I sleep with a CPAP because I snore like a chainsaw. And have sleep apnea, critical sleep apnea is what they declared it as. But when you're using a CPAP and all of a sudden your electricity goes out, that thing's not pumping air anymore.
You're like,
and,
no, I can't breathe. Yes.
And then there is an alarm. We learned that there's an alarm that will actually go off. And it woke Marvin up. And
he's like, furious. Yeah, if something's like, alarming, I'm like, I already can't breathe. Now I got to listen to this shit.
Yeah, so he woke me up because it woke him up before it woke me up. And I'm like, okay.
We're talking about power tools. I'm getting ready to switch platforms. I'm getting ready to, I know. Which sucks because I have so many batteries and so many tools in the one. But I think all I'm going to do is switch my drills to Milwaukee's.
Yes.
And I've burned up so many DeWalt's like drills in the last 2 years. And I'm like, I'm not even drilling that much. What the hell's going on? So I don't know, but
so we heard, but yeah, the Milwaukee stuff's nice.
Yeah.
It is. Are you doing the 18 volt or the 12 volt or
18? I wanted to get the drill and impact set, you know, kit, cause it came with two batteries and the full deal. And it's probably going to be sponsored, but
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean if I do it, it will be sponsored, but it I'm trying to decide which, like, because they have like two different, you know, they have different tiers of Milwaukee's.
Yeah, so the stuff they sell at Lowe's and the stuff they sell at the contractor's only brick store somewhere,
right? And it's like $299 or $399. Like, that's, and which one do you go for? The $399 one was also like hammer drill compatible. Like, you can swap it over to a hammer drill or something like that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee makes great stuff. When it comes to the version, it's one of those things where if you only ever use the $299 one, you'll never know any different. But if you use the $399 one, you'll never be able to use the $299 one again.
Right. That's what I figure.
It's like I have a lot of tools that were like the pack, you know, buy these two and these back and this Black Friday deal or whatever. And then I go and I buy the one tool by itself. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so much better
right.
than that other piece of shit. But that's how yep. they kind of get you in the door or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I use Milwaukee and Marvin and his crews use Milwaukee. And when we were building the shop, I've got like one massively big battery and then, you know, all the different sizes. But anyway, I was going to use that on, I don't remember what tool it was, like the router or something. And one of Marvin's guys like, ooh, I never use that with that tool. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Am I not supposed to use this? I'm like, maybe I don't know as much as I think I do.
Wait, like, I don't understand what he's saying.
That it was just a much more powerful battery so that it was...
No, that's just runtime length. I mean, if it's an 18 volt, okay. it's an 18 volt. Five okay. amp, it's a heavier battery. It's a bigger battery, but it's just runtime right. length. Yeah, it's not going to make the something. Router turn faster. Or...
Okay, well, maybe
that being said, I might have...
Yeah, it sounds like that pumpkin needs to go eat some more bologna. Shut the no. fuck up.
A 6 amp hour battery does have more ass on it when you're using an angle grinder.
And maybe the angle grinder was what I was using. I don't remember what tool yeah. I was using.
If you use like the super small, like the 2 or 4 amp hour or whatever, no, I guess it's two and a half amp hour.
The 2 amp ones are running out faster. So right. they hit critical capacity and just start coming back down faster. Where right. the 6 amp is, it can get capacity and run at right. capacity.
Oh, gotcha.
So, right. If you're using, so the way they work is if you're using tools that are intense, orbital intense, so sanders, angle grinders, routers, things, anything that has like a circular saws, those right. tools drain batteries, not like a right. drill does. You can use a drill almost all day, never notice any difference in output. You turn yeah. an angle grinder on and put a load on it where it's getting resistance, it'll be dead in 20 minutes. So yeah. the 6 amp versus the two's already starting to, that lithium doesn't fade like NiCad used to, but it can't run at that peak level for as long.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
So I think we just said router is one of the most dangerous tools in the shop. I think the 18 volt router is the tool that's one of the most innovative workflow changing tools, in my opinion, to have a cordless palm router that, you know, these big 2.5 horsepower, these are the ones taking your finger off. That little thing yeah. can bite you, but when you just need to, so I did bow ties in this table to cut out the bulk of the material for these 3 bow ties or to run a groove for a shelf or something, man, these 18 volt palm routers are just unbelievably handy. You need to, you've got a template, you need to just get the excess material off and you just grab it and there's no cable, there's no any of this other stuff, just turn it on, go to town. They are so clutch. I think if anybody's looking to get into a new system and all you're thinking about is drill, driver, things like that, look and see if your ecosystem has a palm router. And in my opinion, I would buy I'd buy the battery powered router before I bought a battery powered sander.
I agree. Yes.
It is a handy, handy tool, very versatile. Yeah. And
well, and the thing I think too, like I'm not worried about with my sander if the cord's going to get in my way, but with a router, I would be concerned that would cause me to do something and end definitely. Up hurting get myself.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. you're compromising your work table because, hey, I can only go this far. I can only move to here. Cord. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's that detrimental or whatever, but I will say that I never used a router. I thought they were scary and nothing can destroy a project faster than a blade spinning at 2000 RPMs that goes the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or that lets go. I've had that happen.
Right. But these palm routers, they're not powerful enough to do extreme damage, but they've still got enough guts to get the little things done. And man, they are handy for sure.
I agree. One thing about the Xanders, you were talking about how corded ones don't bother you. The battery powered one did bother me because the battery was off the side. Oh. So it made it lopsided. Like it was heavy.
Flat. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, how does this? So the whole time I'm having to like hold pressure to try to even out the weight of the thing. And that's a terrible design. Like,
yeah,
they need to figure something else out. Because you can't use the little battery. You have to use a big battery because it doesn't last very long.
I will die on this hill. I think sandpaper makes a bigger difference than the sander. Quality sandpaper probably makes a better difference than a Festool sander with, you know, Gator sandpaper from Lowe's versus a Black & Decker sander with, you know, high quality sandpaper. The high quality sandpaper one wins every time. It lasts longer. It's more effective cut. The swirling is, I don't know, sandpaper is where it's at.
I don't think that's what it's about. I think that the higher dollar sander is about user comfort. It's not about performance.
Burn up. It's got better dust extraction. Because that'll be a thing too. If you're not getting your spoil away and you sit in a spot, you'll get swirls and scratches. But
and just your hand, like the fatigue on your hands.
Yeah, because I had like a Black & Decker or whatever before originally.
Yeah.
Or a super cheap one. Oh my gosh, when I got that Makita one, night and day. And I, like I said, it wasn't even a high dollar one, but it was a noticeable difference on hand and wrist fatigue and just discomfort.
I had a Porta Cable, like we called it the jitterbug because it vibrated so much. And I sanded for hours on this one surfboard that we were trying to fix. And I had like phantom vibrations in my hands for 2 days.
Yeah.
Like my hand just felt like it was vibrating for two fucking days. I'm like, I definitely did some kind of nerve damage in my hand using this bullshit sander.
So anytime I work in the shop, y'all are both old like me. I want to see if y'all could sympathize with this. When I wake up the next morning, I don't know what it is. It's just natural. The first thing I do is I crack every finger. Like I wake up in the morning and I'm not even doing like snap, snap, snap. It's all four at once.
Yeah, me too.
Before I even grab my phone. So the way I'm shaping these spoons, okay, so here was the deal. I'm going to make these spoons and I've got all my carving knives. I've got my strop and I've got my like that green stuff, whatever it is to help get a nice sharp edge. And I sit down and I start doing this. I'm like, this is fucking dumb. I got a 2x72-inch house belt grinder in there. So I just set up a suction hose right in front of it, turned that sucker on, and I just started. That's how I shaped all the spoons, was on the belt grinder. And it was awesome. And then the next day, my hands, like when I finished, I could just feel my hands. And when I woke up on Sunday morning, brock, brock. And it's anytime I use my sand or anything.
Yeah, I've had wicked arthritis
soon. Yeah.
For years, I've had it, but I figured it was from building boards.
Probably.
Because our sander rooms weren't climate controlled. So it'd be like, you know, 20 degrees in there and you're wet sanding.
Who?
With no gloves, no nothing. Because you have to be able to feel what you're doing.
That makes sense.
All right. You're ready to kick it to Patreon?
Sure. Do it.
All right. Before we go, let's give an update on the MOW swap 2023. Is that what we're going with, Christy?
Hashtag. That's our hashtag.
Hashtag MOW SWAP 2023. Tag the podcast. If you tag us, I'll speak for myself. Oh, yeah. I'll repost you in my stories. If you tag me in your swap ornament, we have extended it to international as well. We've got a little thing we figured out with those folks. And I saw we had an international person reach out. Rebecca has reached out that she's working on her ornament. So thanks for that, Chad. And then we've got another ornament in. That's a joke between her and I. Y'all don't worry about that joke.
Okay.
And then, We've got Ed finished his way ahead of time. Emmett, who has made two of the worst reels I've ever seen on his ornament swap item, where does all the work and then never shows the final product. Emmett, so could we at least like see what the, have y'all seen these reels he's made?
He just spins copper ornament a
bunch and then that's the end of the reel. I'm like, what are we doing here, man? It's like I watched the first half of the, you want to talk about inconvenience. It's like I watched the first half of the movie and the power went out in the theater and I never got to see the end of the movie. So can we get a reel where it shows your process and the final product? That would be awesome. But he's doing folded copper. I believe it's copper, folded copper. Yes. And he did like a mistletoe kind of leaves and some berries kind of deal.
Yeah, he learned that at Maker's Camp.
Yeah.
I could kick myself for not getting into the class.
None of us knew that was going on. What was the third one we had, Christy?
Shade Crow Studios,
a Texan, I believe.
Yes, a beautiful ornament as well. So we're super excited to have her throwing her hat in the ring. I'm trying to think.
Let's just remind everybody what all the benefits are. If you're a patron and you do it, I'm going to send you a personal or a you know, commemorative coin with the podcast logo and then something we come up with commemorating. Is it not?
Not for Patreon. It's for anybody that donates a gift to a children's charity. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
So the ornament swap is an ornament swap. You're going to mail your ornament to someone. Someone's going to mail it to you. But if you also donate a toy item and send us proof of that donation, that's right. It's everybody. You'll be getting a commemorative coin. I got 50 coins in today. So Bankrupt Dean, I think we had 53 entrants. So we'll start with 50 coins. If we get more than that, I'll just buy more coins. But I'll start on those this weekend. So commemorative coin to anyone who also sends us proof of a donated toy. And the only reason, it's not that we don't believe you. We want to do a collaborative reel where we're showing all the things that the community came together under this project. So we need evidence so that we can include it in that reel. And then what was the other?
Plus, I don't believe you.
Yeah, Austin definitely doesn't believe you. And then there was more though, Christy. When are we buying toys?
We will also buy toys when other people buy toys. So when you send us.
Okay, yeah. You buy a toy, we'll buy a toy to match.
Right. It's maybe not the same toy, but yeah.
Sure. And that's one of the things we're going to use part of our Patreon coffers for.
Yeah. So yeah. Send us a picture of your ornament. And we love to see progress posts for sure. And we'll keep mentioning it on here and resharing it. Make your ornament and then also do a donation to some children's charity. It doesn't have to be a toy. It could be if you're normally just a financial donation person, just let us know to which charity. That might be kind of nice to know too, just the combination of charities that folks are going to be that they donate to. And then we will send you a commemorative coin, and then we will also donate some toy or item to a children's charity as well. So, and hey, let's throw down the gauntlet to some other podcasts. We got a lot of friends that also have podcasts. We would like to strongly encourage you to also participate and share the word, because, you know, holiday season's coming on and everybody likes to get a gift of some sort, especially kids. And sometimes life's rough and they might not have those opportunities.
Do we want to talk about that we're going to do the group chat for the top two tiers of Patreon?
We can do that some. Yeah. If you want to mention it now or.
Yeah.
I should have put it in on when I did the Patreon.
It's going to be an Instagram chat or a.
I think an Instagram chat. Okay. That would be easier. Are you guys. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I got it right here.
I'd rather do that in Discord.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You'd rather do Discord.
No, I'd rather do Instagram than Discord.
Yeah, because I get on Instagram. I don't get on Discord.
Me too.
Yeah. It's only like 7-8 people right now, including us. So if you want to announce that, Dean, you can stick it wherever in the
podcast. Well, just say it right here. Another thing Christy came up with, I think it's a good idea to reward our patrons. Again, if you want to join our patron group, what you get is an extra segment every week. We record a spare patron segment. They could be 5 minutes. They could be 50 minutes. It just depends how far we get into it. Those also do include my top 10 Casey Kasem hits that I've been putting out. But you can find out more about that on patreon.com. Those are a little more irreverent and off topic. We actually let Austin pick the topics for those. All three levels get a sticker pack that includes a podcast logo sticker and one of each of our stickers if you don't already have them or if you like to collect them. But also we're going to start a Instagram chat for the top two tiers. So if you're in our top two tiers of patrons, that'll be a perk that you get. We're going to have an Instagram chat. It can be about whatever you want. If you want to just talk about life, if you want to talk about your project, you want to ask advice, just treat the community, build it up. Obviously, we all have something in common. We love making our way and we appreciate your input, and we'll make sure to contribute to that chat as best as we can. So that'll be something rolling out here soon. Chrissy's going to set that up for us via the Making Our Way podcast chat. There is a limited number of spots on that. So once it's full, it's going to be full, and then we'll come up with something else beyond that. But that'll be a new perk coming out from our patrons. And I think that's it for this episode. We've got the ornament swap. What's the deadline again? December?
December 5th.
December 5th, 12-5. Yep. 1-2-5. And so December 5th, we're already on October. It's the 26th today. So
this will come out the 31st. It'll be
Halloween, huh? Yeah, 31st.
This will be our Halloween episode.
Uh-huh. So you've got a month left. And look, just do it. Just knock it out. You can finish it in a day. Knock it out 2 days, 3 days max. Don't stress out over it. It's going to a stranger that you're never going to meet in person. I have to explain why your ornament is the way it is. But Just put it out there. And if you're a patron, you can ask us for advice and we'll give you some feedback Halloween, on that. So thanks everybody Halloween for listening.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, please give us a review and subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us on Instagram at Making Our Way Podcast or on Patreon. You can find all of our latest individual content on Instagram or YouTube. I'm at High Caliber Craftsman. Dean is at Dean_Duplantis. And Christy is at Twisted Twine Woodworking. Lick it, stick it, see you later, bye.
And we'd like to take a minute and thank the folks over on our first tier of Patreon. We've got Jacob with Griffin Makes, Jacob from Other Dog Design, Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concepts, Justin from Bear Naked, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Dave Bauer, Caitlin Landerno, Morley Kurt, Greg from Platte Valley Woodworks, Brendan McDonough from McDonough Design, The Grant Alexander, Jen Griffin the Black Sheep, Brian from Moonshine Leatherworks, The Makeshift Podcast, Maritime Knife Supply, Henry at HT1 Metalworks, Brad Harrison from Brad's Customs, Steve Delaney from One Old School Pirate, Kelsey Watson, Dan with Goofballs by Dan, Chris Powell from Full Steam Design, Spaghetti and Waffles, Rebecca Johansson, Ira Housework, Eric from Overall Makerworks, Ed Johns from ButtJoints.com, Dave Beckwith, Rob DeMarco, Dave at Atomic Airship, Earl the Third, XYZ, and Dana and Emmett at Rescue Room on Summit. Thanks a bunch, folks.
We want your candy. We need your candy. But no dental floss. The gang heads to the hideout at the end of our night. We spread the loot out. Celebrate with some bites, just right.